Now, to understand the book of Revelation, you got to believe the words on the page just like you do any other book. If you use a normal, literal way of studying the book of Revelation, then you can understand it. In most cases, people's going to tell you that the book of Revelation is a symbolic, figurative book, and you can't understand it. I like the book of Revelation, and it's a blessing to me. And you know why that is? It's because I know that I am not going to spend 1 minute in that time period. And if that ain't a blessing to you, I don't know what is. If you read all those things that's going on over there, they're not good things. God is going to purify that earth again. And He's going to deal with His nation again. So if you turn with me to Revelation 17, and that's where I'm going to be at mostly, but I do want to deal with something that really is going on today. And really it's been going on ever since Nimrod, if you want to look at it that way. You know, Nimrod got the idea to build a tower into heaven so that he could worship his gods. But what happened over in Genesis chapter 11? Well, God saw what they were doing, and he came down and confounded their languages and so that they would scatter out unto all the earth. But the religious system started with Nimrod. And it goes all the way through and up and even into the age of grace that we're living in today. And I want to show you a few of those things and so that you might be able to understand where all this stuff come from. You know, I made up my mind when I learned how to divide my Bible. If I had anything to do with the church, I was not going to get caught up. I was not going to get caught up in all the traditions and all the things that go on in the church. And whether you know it or not, this stuff all comes right from Nimrod right on down. And that's where it comes from. So let me deal a little bit with this, and then I'll get into Revelation 17. Now, I told you about Nimrod, and it goes on down. When you come to Numbers 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. So God is going to judge that religious system. The system here that carries on all the way through until the book of Revelation is the worship of Baal. It's been going on all that time. Now in Revelation 2:14, what does it say about this religious system that's going on even in the tribulation period? What is this? In Revelation 2 and verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because I them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed and to add unto idols and to commit fornication. So what did God tell the nation of Israel? He told them, don't you marry into the Moabites. But what did they do? That's exactly what they did. So here we have that worship of Baal going all the way. It's up into Numbers now. Now, you come to Judges, if you look at Judges 2:13, you'll see that the nation of Israel, what they did, and they forsake the Lord and serve Baal and Ashtaroth. Now here you get another god thrown in that they're going to worship. And basically that's the queen of heaven. The queen of heaven. Do we have people that's doing that today? Sure we do. Sure we do. Now turn with me to Judges chapter 17. And I want to show you a man here, and his name is Michael. And old Michael, he got the idea that if he had a personal priest, and if he had a person that he could call father, then he could get all his sins forgiven. I wonder where they got this at. Well, it says in Judges 17:5, and the man Michael had a house of gods. Have you ever went to a church and they say, "Welcome to the house of the Lord"? Wonder where they got that at. You know, my Bible says that God don't dwell in temples made by hand. What does yours say? Well, there must not be a house of God nowhere. And we have put a thing up on that house that people want to make that thing you go to church in holy. And it's not. Not holy. It's a building. By the way, I tried to find in the book of Acts and all through Paul's 13 books, I tried to find where Paul had a church building. Do you know? I can't find that. Do you all know where Paul worshiped in the house, in a building specifically to have church in? Well, no. What about that? Down home, we have a church in Knoxville that has a steeple. You know how much that steeple costs? $1 million. Do you know what that steeple represents? It's a bell pole. Exactly what it is. You read over in Daniel and find out what old Daniel put up down there in that plain. He didn't put an image up of himself, did he? No, he didn't. He put up a Baal pole. And that's it. I'm glad to see you, Bob. I appreciate amen every once in a while. Thank you. Okay. And made an ephod. Now that's the thing that the priest wore. And a turban. That's images. Have you ever been to a church where they got this picture of this long-haired guy praying? He's got a halo around his head. See, that's not the Lord I serve. You know, that's an image that some old boy drew back whenever. That's what he thought he looked like. See, if I'd have drew a picture of him in my day, he'd have had a crew cut. He wouldn't have looked like that at all. But if you want to know what he looked like, well, go over and read the Song of Solomon. Read what a rabbi looked like. What did Nicodemus call the Lord when he come to him by night? Called him rabbi. Was he not a prophet, priest, and king? Well, guess what he looked like? You can check it out. He looked like a priest. Did he not? He wouldn't have looked like something else, would he? Okay, here we go. We got old Michael. He's got him a priest. He made his son one. And now we have a a Levi come by. And what's he going to do with this Levi? Well, he's going to invite him in. Verse 9. And Michael said unto him, "Whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "I am a Levi of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place." And Michael said unto him, "Dwell with me and be unto me a father." Do you see that? "Be unto me a father and a priest." And now he's going to pay him 10 shekels of silver a year. Now he's going to give him something to eat. And guess what he's going to give him? He's going to give him something to wear. You know, these guys that's got these collars, they don't wear a tie. They wear this collar, and I was always amazed at that. And when I found out why they wore it, I was even more amazed. They don't know which way they're going. I mean, that's the only reason why I could figure out why those guys wear a collar like that. It's backwards. Anyhow, he's got him a father and he's got him a priest. Turn over with me to 2 Kings 10, verse 22. Now here's something else that's involved in the worship of Baal. In the worship of Baal is vestments. You know, when I come up here Saturday morning, we come over here and looked in here, and when I saw this place, I knew that the guy or the person that designed this lecture hall didn't have anything, didn't know nothing about Baal, because he put the speaker down front and everybody else looking down upon it. Well, in a normal situation, what do you got? You've got a guy coming in to the vestibule and he puts on his robe. And he comes in, and he's standing above everybody, looking down on you. Wonder where they got that idea. And they're looking down on the sanctuary. Now, here's the verse I read last night or night before about the sanctuary. You know, we meet in a community center. And people tell me, because I don't have, they'd ask me, did we eat in church? You know, a lot of people's got this crazy idea about this holy building. Do you eat in church? Well, I got to confess to you, we do. In fact, on Saturday night, they have dances in the same place. What am I going to do? So if my sanctuary is different from everybody else's, then maybe I'm not following this line of thinking. We drink coffee, have a donut in the morning. Amen. We don't have a sanctuary. The law gets after somebody and they come in our place, they come right on in and get them. They can't come in there and get sanctuary. Now, there's so much of this stuff in 2 Kings 10:22, and said unto them that was over the vesture, "Bring forth vestments for all the worship of Baal." And he brought them vestments. You know, Jesus says in Mark 12:38, that beware scribes which have long clothing. Long clothing. Where'd that come from? Come right out of worship of Baal, still going on today. There's no difference. They're still doing it, still following those traditions that's been handed down. Do you realize that people will follow tradition more than they will the Bible?
Amen.
They can't get away from it. They got it. Like I said, I determined that I wasn't going to follow those traditions.
Amen.
I'm not going to follow the worship of Baal. Wouldn't I look great in a robe? I was telling some of the kids up on the third floor last night, and I don't sing very good, but I tried to sing them a little bit of Rusty Old Halo and the Skinny White Cloud and the robe with so woolly scratches. Y'all ain't never heard that song. Well, see, that's people, when they get to heaven, they don't want nothing like that. They want to be up there looking down on people. And that's the way it is today. The religious system that we're under today, doesn't matter where you're in the Grace Church or what, we bring some of that stuff in with us.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Amen.
You know, here's the deal. You got to sing three songs, take up an offering. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Do you all do that? And then we have a special. And then the preacher gets up and preaches. And then in the denominational churches, they offer an altar call.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they get all that stuff at? You know, I thought an altar was a place where they kill things. And really and truly, I believe that that's what they're doing to the people. They might not be putting a knife in them, but they're killing them because they're not teaching them sound doctrine, are they? You see what I'm talking about? So, down through the years, this religious system has came along and we bought into it because that's the way we think that we ought to operate. We want to operate that way. Okay, so I'm going to get over here in Revelation 17. I will tell you this before I start in this. Let me see how much time I got. Yeah, I might be able to get through this. In Revelation 17, he's going to tell you about a woman. Now, this woman represents the religious system of the world. That's who she is. Now, the question I need to answer is, who is this woman sitting on? Well, let me get into this a little bit. Remember this also, that everything the Lord has, Satan has a counterfeit for it. Do you know one thing that Satan hasn't done yet? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But there's one thing that Satan hasn't been allowed to do yet, but will do here in these verses. He's going to be able to resurrect the Antichrist. The resurrection. In Revelation 17, in verse 1, there come one of the angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now, it's pretty easy to figure out who this is. She's sitting on many waters. Most of the time when you read your Bible, if you see waters or sea or that type of stuff, you're going to be dealing with the Mediterranean Sea. But here, it tells you what those waters are. If you look at verse 15, "And he said unto me, the waters which I sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people, multitudes, and nations, and tongues." So this woman is sitting upon the people of the world.
Amen.
That's where she's sitting. Now, when you look at the beast, you can figure that out too. He is a man. I don't have no problem with that. He is a man, but also he represents the political system of the world. That's who he represents. And this woman is sitting upon that beast. And that's the answer to it in case I don't get through this. Now, I've accomplished my objective, I'll put it to you that way. But that's who this woman is. And that's who the beast is. They represent the religious system and also the political system. See, this woman can't operate unless she's got the political system backing her. Can't operate. All right, the Revelation 17 and verse 2. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the habitation of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Now the kings of the earth, they have committed spiritual fornication. They've done that, the kings of the earth. Why did they do that? Well, in this country, it's about the almighty dollar.
Amen.
The almighty dollar. In those churches that you see on TV every day, those big churches, 10,000, 20,000, and they pass some Colonel Sanders buckets around. Do you know what they're after? Well, they're after that almighty dollar, and you all know that. You know who they prey on? They prey on the old people that's drawing Social Security that has no hope in anything else. I mean, they're sick, they're getting old. Don't you all look at me. I'm getting young. I'm not going to send those guys nothing. I'm not going to send them any of my Social Security money. In fact, I hope you guys keep on working. At least keep the system going for 10 more years. It would be a good thing. Revelation 18:3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy." Now think about this. What holiday that comes every year that all the merchants of the world, I mean the United States especially, what holiday is it that they base all the whole year's sale? Christmas. Now surely you guys don't have a Santa Claus coming around.
No.
Well, maybe once in a while, you know. Wouldn't hurt nothing. Where did that holiday come from? Well, it come out of the same place that old Baal come out of.
Amen.
Where did that holiday? Well, that's not the birthday of Jesus. What does that thing say? Christ's mass? I wonder where that came out. But we take our little credit card and we run down to Walmart. Let's see, I got to buy for Uncle Jim and Aunt Jane. By the time I get out of there, I got that thing filled up. And I'm not talking about the card, I'm talking about my car. And I got all year trying to pay it off. Oh, but it was a wonderful day. Don't you just feel the Spirit? Have you ever heard that? Oh, the Spirit of Christmas. Let's go to a Christmas play. Where did that stuff come from? Where did they get this guy dressed in a red outfit? I wonder who invented that guy. All that stuff is nothing but that religious system.
Amen.
And then they come along with this other holiday, and they got a poor old rabbit laying hen eggs. That's the most amazing thing that I ever hear. Where in the world did they get that at? They didn't get it out of the Bible, did they? Well, no, it come right out of that religious system. And the merchants of the world invented that thing. And the religious system went along with them. And that's what happened. You know, I know what Jeremiah 10 ain't talking about a Christmas tree. You know, I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they come along and say all that stuff is a heathen. Somebody asked me the other day, where are the heathen? And I said, down at Walmart and Kmart. That's where they're at. Well, we was heathen at one time, was we not? But, you know, I tell people this, and they just amazed at this. I tell them, I'm not a Gentile. I'm not a heathen. I'm not a Jew. But I'm a saint of the Most High God.
Amen.
You know, there's a big difference. There's a difference. All right, let me get back to this. I got enough time. So he carried me away, verse 3, in the spirit and into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names and blasphemy and having said 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the 10 horns, of course, represents what? The 10 kingdoms. And these 10 kingdoms are going to help the beast or the Antichrist. You know, I do a question answer thing on TV, and the most questions I have is about the Antichrist. Number one, who is he? Number two, what's his mark? And they all think about 666. You all ever heard about that? Well, that's not his mark. That's his number. And that's his number. That's nobody else's number. I seen the other day those guys from Florida. They got a church down there and they got it tattooed here in each arm. I don't know whether those guys from Florida has that or not. Maybe. But these guys do. What in the world is that? People are crazy. Even if you go into tribulation and take the mark, you're not going to get his number. You know, we've got things going on out there today, and they say your social security number is the mark of the beast. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give up my social security number for nothing. Well, that's not the mark of the beast.
Amen.
They come along and tell you all kinds of stuff. If you put a chip in your hand and you got to go down to the bank and turn your money in, they put this chip in your hand, and then you go to the cash register and you run your hand over and they debit your account. That's not the mark of the beast. That's nothing to do with that at all. But people want to know about this stuff. And it's important to know about what's going on in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
It's important. Even though you're never going to be there if you've been saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
But you need to know about that stuff over there. You know, you're supposed to answer those people.
Amen.
And if you don't know the answer, then you need to study it. Let me give you a clue here. Don't try to go to the book of Revelation until you study the 13 books of Paul.
Amen.
Because you ain't going to understand it if you do. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, you know what he said? Consider what I say, Paul says, and the Lord give thee understanding in how many things?
All
things. Now, either he was telling us a lie or we can't understand this stuff.
Right.
Oh, I get mixed up in some of this stuff. A lot of people a lot smarter than me, and they tell me, oh, well, some of that stuff you're teaching is not right. Well, maybe I do. But as far as I know, I'll give them a true gospel.
Amen.
So, Revelation 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colors, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Do you know that in this political system that runs that, not only the political system, but the religious system of the world, these people have money. They have great power. They have loyalty running those things. They do that. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. Now remember, her symbol here is a cup. First Corinthians, if I can find it here. It comes out to Romans, don't it? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. Now I'm in the wrong pew here. Okay, verse 21, I'm sorry. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do you see what he's saying here? This woman has a cup in her hand. And Paul's saying you can't drink of the Lord's cup and her cup. All right, verse 5, Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. Here's another amazing thing. This woman has what she is written upon her forehead. Well, why can't people figure it out? I mean, it's right there for everybody to see.
Yeah.
I'm no expert, but they've got devil churches. Most of them got red doors. I don't know what that's supposed to be. I ain't never been in one. But then they've got denominational churches. They have big churches and they've got bell poles on top. So everybody says, well, that's a church, it's okay. You know that preacher ain't going to tell me no lie. But you know what they're teaching in there? They're adding to the gospel that saves you.
Amen.
You know what they do when they tell you that in order to get to heaven, you not only have to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, but you've got to be baptized by one of our members, or one of our preachers, excuse me. Now, what kind of outfit is that? They got the word church on there, and you see all these people going on Sunday, but they don't know what they're getting into when they go in the door. That's the same thing here. They don't know what's going on. They just follow the leader. They haven't studied the Bible. They don't know what's going on. So they get hooked up in this stuff and they can't get away from it. Pretty soon they're believing what that guy's saying. Okay, verse 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Over there, back in the first century, even farther back than that, what was they doing to those people? They was killing them. They was burning them at the stake. They were doing all that stuff. And in the tribulation period, if they don't take the mark of the beast, what's going to happen to them? They're going to get their heads cut off. And this religious system is back of all that. And the political system is carrying it out. Now, we're not to that point yet. But it's no sign that we ain't going to arrive there one day. Could happen. Could happen. Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did thou marvel? And I'll tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, the angel here is going to show John the mystery of the woman. He's going to tell him about the beast and the 7 heads and the 10 horns. And this is the political system along with the religious system. In verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now you see he was and is not and yet is. Now, he is a counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This guy is going to give Israel what they want. When he rides in on his white horse, he's going to say, peace, brothers. And he's going to convince that nation that he is their Messiah. And they're going to believe that. And they're going to follow him. You know what he's going to give them? He's going to give them what they want. He's going to offer them protection. He's going to offer them the spoils of war. And he's going to say, I'm going to build your temple.
Yeah.
And boy, they say, you're the God we've been looking for all these years.
Yeah.
You're the one. But have they got a surprise coming?
Oh, yeah.
In Revelation 1:8, look what it says about the Lord. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, does that ring a bell? Which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You see what this guy does? He imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an imitator. He's a counterfeit. In Revelation 13:3, here you have the guy that the Antichrist or the beast, he gets killed with a sword. Now, basically, this happens at the halfway point in the tribulation period. And at that time, what else happens? Well, there's war in heaven. Satan and his angels are cast out on the earth and they can't get off. Now, what happens? Satan enters in to this guy and he lives and he is resurrected. Now they see him, and boy, do they marvel at him. He's doing exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ at his first coming. They didn't believe it then, but since this guy doesn't give all this nation all that they want, well, they're going to believe him. They're going to believe that he's the one. If you read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, you got a man of sin, the first 3.5, and then you got the son of perdition, the last. And that's who this guy is. Revelation 17:9. And here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So these seven kings are the mountains where the woman sitteth. Verse 10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Now, who's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the risen Antichrist. Now, he says seven kingdoms. Now, I can't tell you for sure who these seven kingdoms are, but if you go back in history and look at the kingdoms that have supported the devil or Satan, you can see seven kingdoms. Let me read them to you. Like I said, don't take this for gospel. There's the king of Babel. Who was that? That was Nimrod, right? The king of Egypt, the king of Assyria, the king of Babylon, king of Persia, king of Greece, and the king of Rome. Now it says five are fallen. And then the eighth is going to be that Antichrist coming out and being resurrected. Okay, verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. So he comes out of the seven. That's where he comes from. And goes into perdition. Revelation 17:12. And the ten horns which I saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. So these ten kings are going to give their power to the beast for a short time. It says 1 hour. Now, we've been taught, if you listen to prophecy preachers, that ten kings are ten federations in Europe. Now, if you've listened to any prophecy preachers at all, then you know that that's what they're going to tell you. Well, it's a funny thing to me. I think they've got 12 now. So I don't know what they're going to do with them other two. But what I'm telling you is that that has nothing to do with this. Now, when I read Daniel 2:43, I personally believe that those 10 kings that show up over there are 10 of Satan's angels. If you read a little bit in Daniel 2:43, and it says, "What I saw is iron mixed with marley clay," talking about the image. "They shall mingle themselves with the seeds of men." Now, a lot of people don't believe Genesis chapter 6 talking about angels. I personally do. But I believe that's who these people are. I believe that there are 10 of Satan's fallen angels that show up. You remember that all his angels are cast out on the earth at the halfway point of the tribulation period. Now, whether or not that's who these people are, that's a good indication to me that that's who they are. In Daniel chapter 2. Now, verse 13 says, "These have one mind and shall have their power and strength, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." So they're going to give their power to the beast. Verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lord, with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful." Now, you see how this thing jumps forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's he going to do? He's going to defeat these kings. But before he defeats them, he is going to use those kings to destroy that woman. Revelation 17:15. "And he said unto," this is about the waters, "which I saw is where the whore setteth our people and multitudes and nations and tongues." We went over that and we saw that's where she's sitting. Verse 16, "And the 10 horns which I saw is upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Now you say that's kind of an odd thing. These guys give their power to Satan, and now they turn around here and destroy this woman. Well, look at verse 17, gives you an answer. "For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and God shall use the 10 kings that the beast controlled at one time to turn against the woman, the religious system, and destroy it." You see how God does that?
Amen.
He turns these 10 kings around, and they destroy the religious system. Now, in the Bible, does the Bible not say that Nebuchadnezzar was the Lord's servant? Well, sure it does. God put in old Nebi's mind to do what he told him to.
Amen.
And the same thing here happens with these. Verse 18, "And the woman which I saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Now, you remember what I read to you earlier. And it says the seven mountains of the seven kingdoms that the woman was sitting. Now the city is going to be what? Babylon. It's going to be Babylon. You know, the Lord has a city. The devil has a city.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has a woman in Revelation 12:1. There's a woman shows up. And that's talking about Israel. And here, Satan has a city, and that city is Babylon. Revelation 18:2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and becomes a habitation of devils, and the whole ever foul spirit, and a cage of ever unclean and hateful bird. You know anybody in a religious system that has an office in the church that's named after a bird? Well, they tell me that them birds are pretty mean. Revelation 5 and verse 8, for her sins have reached into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. And that's when he has control of everything, and he destroys that religious system. And what does he do with the beast? Well, in Revelation 19:20, he takes the false prophet, and he takes the Antichrist and casts him in the lake of fire. And then in Revelation 20, after the defeat of the battle of Gog and Magog, God takes Satan and casts him into the lake of fire, where the false prophet and the Antichrist are. They were still there 1,000 years later, burning. So don't tell me that hell is not eternal, because it is. All right, Jeremiah 51, verse 6. Here's what God tells his people. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, and he will render unto her a recompense. Tells his people to get out of that. And really and truly, that's what we need to do. We need to get out of the religious system and the political system that's running and ruling the world today. Okay, I'm finished with my lesson here on the woman that rides the beast. Let me just say this real quick. If you're here today and you're lost, and have never trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ, and don't know him in the free pardon of sin, then today you can be put in the body of Christ by the Spirit. And it's not a hard thing. All you got to do is believe in the heart that Christ was raised from the dead. You know what he did for you when that happened? He was buried. You know, I often wondered what that had to do with the gospel. When you're buried, what happens? You're taken out of sight. Amen. And that's exactly what he did with your sins. And he did it all for you. And then the Bible says that he was raised again the third day for your justification. Amen. And you know what that means? One day you can stand just before God. Righteous before God. And it's a simple thing. All you have to do is believe and trust in what he did for you on the cross. And you can miss this terrible time. Amen. It's going to happen. You can't get away from it. And it's not some thing that's going to happen in the future. It's going to happen. It might happen. No. Absolutely, it's going to happen. Okay.